All right, so the title of the message is being repentant in your lifestyle. It needs to become a lifestyle to you. You know, Daniel, if you study Daniel, I know we only had a short time with Daniel. We didn't really go through all the different stuff with him. But I would encourage you to go back and read Daniel yourself. Amen. It's not all easy to read, to be totally honest. But go back and read some of Daniel yourself now that you know a little bit more about him. But Daniel knew who he was. He knew who he was, and it didn't matter whether he was faced with a king. It didn't matter whether he was faced with pressure, other leaders around him, trying to force him into a particular position, or to give up on God, or to reject God, or to backslide, or to eat of the different food. He knew who he was. And I'm concerned as for Christian men, and I'm concerned that we don't really know who we are. In other words, we're not sure of our own identity, who we are. We're a little bit confused. We're half, in a sense, you can't be half Christian, but we live half Christian.
That's right.
And then we live half worldly. We're not kind of sure which world we fall into. To be honest, we're not even sure which world we want to be really in. And when we're in an environment like this for a few days, oh, I hear you saying amen. I say, look over in the corner at the Dublin end that has some Cork people in it, by the way. I see people and they're saying amen. They're singing the songs and it just does my heart so good. But I know Monday's coming. I honestly know Monday's coming. And you're singing loud today. And you've been singing loud last night and this morning. But what are you going to be doing on Monday?
Yes, sir.
Do you know who you really are? Do you really know who you want to be? Do you know who you should be? And do you know how you're going to get to be who God wants you to be? Mm. We're so confused as a generation. Mm. And we wonder why the young people are confused. Mm. You know, half of my kids' secondary school doesn't know if they're boys or girls.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you look at their parents that are raising them, they're not sure who they are or what they are. Maybe not sexually, but we're confused as a people. We don't really have a purpose or a goal or an ambition. There's no plan for our lives. We're just existing from one thing to the next. You know, Daniel knew who he was. He was in a particular place that he wouldn't have chosen to go. He was pulled out of his life that he was living. And his world was turned upside down. Yet he lived for God in the moment he was in. No matter where God brought him to or who God had him around. You know, we just heard about Daniel that there was no negative thing said about him. Does that mean Daniel was sinless?
No.
You have to understand he wasn't sinless. It's not recorded, but every man has sinned.
That's right.
Including Daniel, including Joseph in the Bible. You know, so don't get it wrong that Daniel's this perfect man. It's just not recorded.
That's right.
Jesus was the only perfect man. Mm-hmm. So if you grab your Bible, look at Daniel chapter 9 with me, and we're going to jump around. I'm going to keep you in Daniel, though, just so for time's sake, because I really want to get finished by 12 o'clock. But Daniel, first point is, I think we need to have a refocus. And that's already been going on. That's been going on through even the testimonies, the stories, the conversations that have been going on, the challenge of the preaching and the messages that you have been getting since you've been here. And in Daniel, we looked at some of the verse a couple of minutes ago, and it says, and I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting, and sackcloth and ashes. You know, when I was first saved, I didn't even know what some of these things were. So we read a verse like that. Some of you are trying to memorize it. Some of us don't even know what fasting is. Somebody asked me last night. And some don't know what sackcloth is.
Yeah.
Some know what ashes are, because on a Christmas morning, sometimes you've got ashes when you're with old people.
That would be long or
something. But what is sackcloth and ashes? Well, sackcloth and ashes is used in the Old Testament times, and it's a symbol of somebody's, I suppose, debasement or mourning, or they're upset, maybe somebody's died, or they're really trying to get right with God, or they're trying to get God's attention. So what they'll do is they'll put on these kind of robes, these clothing, and for use in the men's home, you'll know this, you have wore sackcloth before in the prison station, when you're in the police cell.
Wow.
And know that itchy blanket? That's sackcloth. That's the idea of sackcloth. It's uncomfortable. It's normally made out of goat hair. Okay, and it's really uncomfortable to wear. And they would put ashes on their head, and it'd be very dramatic. And what you were trying to say with their outward appearance is, I'm important on the inside, and I'm wanting to get right with God, and I need God to touch my life, and I need a change. And if you look at the page where you're meant to be taking notes when I'm preaching, you'll have a little picture. And what will it say? It's time for change. It's time for change in my life.
Amen.
My life doesn't change regularly. There's something wrong.
Right.
If I'm still living off God changed me from being a heroin addict back in the day, there's something wrong.
Amen.
That's old news.
Yeah.
God's the God of good news. Yeah. Not old news. So we need to be going forward, not keeping looking back over our shoulders all the time. You know, Daniel put on sackcloth and ashes. He was getting serious. He was fasting. He was praying. He was seeking after God. You know, in 4 Samuel 16:7, if you would have looked at Daniel, you know, you would have seen somebody with a genuine heart. But sometimes it's hard to see somebody that's genuine from, because we look at their outward appearance. We maybe look at the background they're coming from. We look at, you know, who they used to be or what they used to do. And in 4 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on his height or stature, because... And that's good for me because I'm a small guy. Right? Because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart.
Amen.
And we need to be careful when we're dealing with people, because we're very judgmental as people.
Yeah.
You know, we walk into a room, we're judging people by what they're wearing, you're judging people by how they look, their haircut they have, the tattoos on their arms, you know, the tattoos on their eyebrows, whatever it might be. But we judge people all the time, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and listen, I do it too. I'm really good at it, actually. You know, I've done some courses on it. I'm really good. But God says, don't judge that outward appearance, because there's something more going on. Because that outward appearance in time can change. But you know what? The heart can stay the same for a long time. If we were to look at the disciples of Jesus and go off their records and stuff like that, man, you wouldn't want that to do with them.
That's right.
Jesus got put to death for something. Did he get put to death for their own?
Yeah.
You know, didn't the Apostle Paul, didn't he get put in prison and all that? He was he was a jailbird. You know, he probably has prison tattoos on him. I'm sure he didn't. He's been in prison, hasn't he?
Yes, sir.
Wasn't he stoned a number of times, wasn't he?
I was.
But wasn't he shipwrecked a number of times?
Yes, sir.
And you see, I'm sure there's people in his day that looked at him and go, man, he must be doing stuff wrong if that's happening.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You know what? And I'm sure when people heard he was in prison, there would have been comments like, he's getting put in prison for nothing.
Yeah.
You know? And we're very judgmental. And what I would say to you today and tonight is, you know, try not be so focused upon what you're seeing. We need to get more focused upon what God can do in the life that we're seeing. And Daniel was somebody that looked around at a crazy country that he was living in with a crazy people. He looked at his own people not doing right. But you know what? He didn't just get despondent and feel rejected and not do anything about it. What did he do? He prayed. He put on sackcloth and ashes. He got right himself. But he sought after God. And you know, Daniel was soft-hearted towards God. He was soft-hearted towards sin. You know, he had that internal voice in him just telling him, you know what, things need to change. He knew something needed to change. He couldn't go on the way it was going on. He wanted stuff to be different for him and for his people. And we need to be real careful that we don't get just used to sin in our lives and sin around us and just accepting of that's the way it is now. That's the way people live now. It's so easy to do that and just glide with the culture we're in. It doesn't make it right. You know, have we become hardened to the sin around us? You know, Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Yes, sir.
When you're doing wrong and the sin around you and the culture around you is wrong, it's very hard not to get sucked into it. Why? Because sin is deceitful. In other words, it's tricky. Sometimes sin will look like it's wrong, and wrong will look like it's right by the culture that you're in. And you're trying to do the right thing, and your culture will say you're doing the wrong thing. And vice versa. We need to be real careful that we Don't get soaked into the deceitfulness of sin. We don't get fooled by it. You know, I suppose we need to just be careful in our own lives that we don't just get used to sin in our lives. And it's just my thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always been like that. You ever used that excuse in your life? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the way it is. I'm not as bad as I used to be. You know, and we have a big long list of little phrases that we use to make ourselves feel better about the wrong that we're doing. I want everybody to stop and look up at me for a minute. Everybody looking, eyeballs that means, yeah?
Yeah.
Eyeballs. Question for you. Now, it's between you and God, I don't want you to answer, okay? We're talking about living a repentant lifestyle. We're talking about Daniel getting right with God. As you look at me right now, and I'm not looking for the answer, I'm really wanting you to think about it between you and God. Mm-hmm. Is there secret sin in your life tonight that you've been carrying? And you're even finding it hard to look at me tonight. Because you know in your heart there's something there that needs to be gotten right with God. You can stop looking. but don't miss it. I don't want an answer.
Amen.
It's between you and God. Never
Amen.
Confess your sin to a man, by the way.
Amen.
But I want you to understand, the Holy Spirit of God wants to connect with you in your heart tonight, because He's trying to cleanse you from the sin that's in you. He's trying to make you like Jesus. And it's up to us how far we go down that road. That secret sin in your life, you think nobody knows, but God knows. And it can get all exciting in here when everybody's singing, and you have cowboys from Dublin down the end that are getting a little bit too wild, and they're throwing their Bibles in the air and all that. But you know what? If it does not change your life and change your actions, it's all fluff.
That's right.
Amen.
Because Monday's coming.
That's right.
Because Monday's coming. You got to be the same Monday. I hope you are.
Yeah.
I hope you're going to be the same Monday. Mm-hmm. You see, we make excuses why it's okay for us to just carry on doing the wrong thing. You know, maybe you think God's laws and God's rules are too extreme for you. Or God's standards are too much to bear. You know what? God can give you the grace, the ability, the Amen. Enablement to be able to live godly in this present
yes,
world,
sir.
He says. We have no excuse. We need to sit up and listen. And I don't mean to this sermon, it'd be nice if you did. But I mean to God in your personal life.
Yes, sir.
Because Pastor Ledbetter or Leighton Kelly is not following you around to point out all the things you need not to do.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit moves into your life if you're a Christian. And you can expect Him to lead in your life if you will listen.
Amen.
You will expect Him to help you live that Christian life. Let's check Daniel. It was very simple. Let's check Daniel out. Let's check Daniel. Let's put him under the microscope for a minute. Put him under the magnifying glass for a minute. And there's a lot about Daniel that we can look at. But this little verse in verse 3 of chapter 9 says this. And I, so who's he talking about? He's talking about himself. And I set my face unto the Lord. Now we could stop there and do the whole rest of the message on that little bit of that verse. Do you understand what that means, how powerful that is? Here we have a man that lives godly in an ungodly place. If he was to be walking around camp, we would think, man, he's super spiritual guy. You know, we'd be having him preach all the messages. You know, well, he's a super spiritual guy. But the people around him look at him, they know the stories of the times he stood up against kings and he stood up against leadership to follow God and all that God done. I'm sure when people walked by and kids walked by, saw him on the street, they went, you know, there's the lion guy. You know? And probably people went, wow. He had a reputation. What did he have a reputation for? Because he knew God.
Amen.
As a believer, he had a reputation that this man knows God. Too often, us Christians don't have that reputation. Mm. We have reputations for a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe we need a reputation like that. You see, when he says, I set my face unto the Lord, it's a decision he made to set his face. It's a turning, it's a change of direction. It's a coming about. It's a commitment to focus on God, to look to Him, to set His face to the Lord God. He is making a decision. You have to make a decision to set your face onto the Lord God. He is surrendering to God. He's committed to God. You know, he's not looking to the right or the left. He's looking straight on at God.
Jesus.
And you know what? He gets to the place where, you know what? He doesn't want to be looking at God and then having to turn away because of the guilt and shame about the secret sin that God might lift up when he's thinking about God. He doesn't hide from his Bible when God wants him to be in the Bible, because sin will keep you from the book, or the book will keep you from sin.
Amen. Amen.
It's very easy to sing the song and hold it in the air.
Yeah, it is.
It's too easy, actually. Yeah. You know what? Daniel, he was going straight with God. He decided to follow Jesus. There was no turning back. There was no turning back. Isn't that the song we like to sing?
Yeah.
That's where we need to get to, where we're committed to following after God. You know, I wonder, have we got to the place where Daniel is during camp, where we're willing and seeking to set our face towards the Lord God? Or are we still two-faced? You say, what do you mean? That sounds offensive. It was meant to be offensive. That's why I wrote it. We're looking to Jesus sometimes, and that's good. But you know what? A lot of the other time, we're looking to other stuff.
Right.
And God is not the God in our life that accepts that. Does he understand it? Yes, because he knows our humanity. He knows what we're like. But a long and hard as he wants us focused upon him, he wants us to love him, he wants us to have him as the centerpiece of our lives, we need to be looking on to Jesus. Not looking for our own pleasures, not just settling for sin, not just giving in, not just throwing our hands in the air and surrendering, but we need to refocus. You know what? We also need to see how serious it is. You know, look at Isaiah on the screen, Isaiah 50, verse 7, it says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Wherefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed."
Amen.
What a verse that is. Very similar to what we're looking at, setting your face in a direction. And we're talking about setting his face like a flint. This is what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, "I strongly urge believers to imitate the Lord's steadfast determination. My great object is to lead you to love him who so loved you that he set his face like a flint in his determination to save you. O ye redeemed ones, on whose behalf this strong resolve was made, ye who have been bought by the precious blood of the steadfast, resolute Redeemer,
amen,
come and think a while of him, that your hearts may burn within you, and that your faces may be set like flints to live and die for him who lived and died for you." What a Christianity that guy is talking about.
Yeah.
And it's one that is often alien to us, even on our good days.
Mm.
You know, how committed are we? Are we two-faced, wishy-washy? Or are we looking on to the Lord God? Are we committed? Are we building our Christianity on sacrifice and commitment and love? Or are we just going through the motions? You know, repentance. I need to get right with God. You know, what is repentance? What does Daniel say in verse 4 of chapter 9? He says, "I prayed unto the Lord God, Lord my God." He recognized God as a personal God. It's the Lord my God.
Amen.
Not my father's God or my mother's God, but he's my God.
Amen.
Not my church's God, but he's my God. He says, "I made my confession." You know what? We need to make sure that we're doing personal business with God.
Amen.
That it's a daily thing. It's an ongoing thing. You know what? When he says, "I made my confession," it's a rank acknowledgement of his sinfulness, and it's preparing him for the proper worship of God. He's trying to get himself to a place where he is right with God, going all in for God in his life. And I want you to look at the rest of the verse. Because sometimes we have this idea, and it's a wrong idea of God. Let's read the verse again. Daniel 9, verse 4. And it says, and I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God.
Yeah.
The great and dreadful God?
Yeah.
Pastor never said there was one of them going around. We all thought God was all love and everything like that, and we liked that idea because it's warm and fluffy. But Daniel knows God. And you know what Daniel says about God? Mm. He is serious.
Amen.
You should not mess with God.
Yep.
He is the great and dreadful God. I tell you, you could stay there for a while.
Yes, you could.
He says, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. See, he knows stuff about God. Yes. He's seen God move for the good and in judgment. Too often we're not seeing the judgment then. We don't really have a fear of God.
That's right.
And it's missing in our Christianity. It's missing in our churches. It's missing in our personal lives. We think we've a misconception about God of who he is and what he can do. We brought God very low in our estimation. We brought God right down to the place where God is just kind of like us. That he's just like, it's okay. You know, and we use him as a swear word. And we say, you know, I swear, and we use his name. I heard that today, and somebody apologized when they said it. But we use God's name as if it's a small thing. Everything bringing God down. Let me tell you, we need to be lifting God up, not bringing him down. He is the great and dreadful God.
Yes.
He is so powerful that we couldn't even describe how powerful he is. And in the eyes of too many Christians, and definitely in the eyes of the lost and dying world, God is just some little g God. One of many gods. And it's like that in our lives too. He is not who he really is in our lives all the time. And he needs to be. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God. Daniel knows how vital it is in his life and in the life of his people to know who God is. Timothy Treadwell, he's a great illustration for this. Timothy Treadwell, some of you have probably known him. In 2003... he went up to Alaska and he studied wild grizzly bears. And he went everywhere with him. He went up every summer and he got dropped off by a helicopter. He wouldn't bring a gun. He wouldn't bring bear spray. He wouldn't use electric fences around his camp, which are meant to do. Broke all the rules. But this guy thought, I know bears. They know me. I'm perfectly safe here. And he would go out with the bears. And you will see him sitting. Look how close the grizzly bear is. This isn't a pet. These are wild bears. This is another wild bear eating salmon. One day he records in a book, there's a movie about him too, he records in a book, a bear that he knew called Quincy was fishing like this in the river, fishing for salmon. And what bears will do when they're about to hibernate is they'll want to eat loads of high protein stuff. So they catch the salmon, they just bite the heads off them just to get the brains, and they leave the rest there when they're stocking up right at the end. Pretty disgusting. So Timothy Treadwell, in a setting like this where he's looking at the bear fishing, the bear got out of the water, ran to him, knocked him to the ground, thought he was going to get killed by the bear, and suddenly the bear stopped and walked away. You know what Timothy Treadwell thought? I was right. These bears won't kill me. These bears have no claws. They have no teeth. We're friends now. Everything's great. And Timothy Treadwell went up every summer and he camped there with his girlfriend. And look at him reading the book in the bear behind him. And that's his girlfriend there. Her name is Amy Hunganard or something like that. And you know, the two of them lived up there, and she didn't go up as much as him, but he was always there. He wrote books, done documentaries, all that. Real famous guy. Timothy Treadwell thought that bears were now safe. His experience told him that, you know what, the bears won't eat me. Sure, look how close he's been to them multiple times. You know what, if one of us went out and we were down in the forest and we saw one of them bears, man, we'd be back here so
quick.
Would we? Or would we already back in Dublin by
now?
Haven't left the men's on there. Timothy Treadwell didn't think like that, you know why? Because he, in his mind's eye, he thought them bears aren't as dangerous as people say. Them bears have no teeth, they have no claws, they can't hurt me. You know what? That was all good until one night, Timothy Treadwell, and it's recorded on a camcorder. You only hear the sound, so don't go searching for it. You only hear the sound of the screams of Timothy being eaten alive. The very same bears that he thought had no claws, they wouldn't eat him, they wouldn't kill him. You know what he done? He treated a dangerous animal as if it wasn't dangerous.
Like a pet.
We treat God like that. As if he's as if he's soft and fluffy. Daniel tells us here in this chapter, he is the great and dreadful
very
God.
Good.
And if we had a fear of God in our lives, do you know what would stop us doing some stuff in our lives?
Yes, sir.
It would stop you looking at some stuff. It would stop you listening to some stuff. It would keep you away from some people you shouldn't be with. It would keep you away from the drugs and the drink and all that kind of stuff. Because you wouldn't want to go near them if you knew who God was. If you believed that God was really God. And he was the God who could do anything he wants. You know what? We like Timothy Treadwell, have played with God. And we haven't seen the consequences or true judgment in our lives from rejecting God. And we think it's always going to be like that. Doesn't mean it's always going to be like that. You don't always get another chance. You don't always get another chance. Timothy, when he went to bed that night in the tent, thought it was just another night. And if he could stand here tonight behind this pulpit and tell you, be careful with the dangerous things around you, he would warn you. God has claws and very big teeth. He can use them for protecting you. Or he can let you have what you want in your life and he lets you destroy your own life. God is real. He is powerful. We're so thankful he's loving too. We better bring that in. We're up there for a while. You know what? Bible says this in Galatians 6:8. It says, for he that sowed to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sowed to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What you put in, you get out. You know what? You know what? We need to understand, live like Daniel, a repentant life. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession. Question for you men. What do we need to confess? Not as a group, but you as an individual. Not just you as an individual, me as an individual. What do I need to confess? I don't confess it to you, but I certainly do need to be thinking. You know, am I right with God tonight? You know what, when I go home, is there anything I need to sort out when I get home? Is there a relationship that I need to get right? Is there something I need to let go of? Is there an attitude or an action in my life that I need to stop and get help with? You know what, is there a way that I'm speaking? Is there thoughts that I'm having? Is there stuff that I'm watching? Whatever it might be in your life, is there confession like Daniel done needing to be had? What are you holding on to tonight? Ask yourself tonight, is it worth it? Daniel says, I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Look at verse 5 at me. He says, we have sinned.
Yes.
We have sinned. You know what? Daniel knew himself, but he also knew his people. And here he is, and he's coming to God, and he's asking God for his people. And we need God to move in our country. We need God to move in our people. We need God to move in our churches. We need God to move in the town you're based in. You know, we need God to work in our families. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly. You don't hear that word being said too often, wickedly, don't we not? Because we all just make mistakes. We all just have little slips. You know what?
Good.
It wasn't such a big deal. You know what?
Daniel says we've done wickedly.
Excellent.
You know why? Because God is so big and so holy in Daniel's life that when he does stuff down here that we think's not a big deal, he thinks that's wicked.
Amen.
We have lost sight of what sin is and getting right with God. He says, and we have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. You see, Daniel saw himself for who he genuinely was, and he went to God and laid it all out for himself, but also for his people. You know what? We need to be praying for the people around us. We need to be praying for our families. We need to be praying for our people in our churches and our communities. You know what? Daniel didn't minimize sin. He saw it for what it was. You know what? There was a refocusing. There was a repentance. There was a, there was a getting right with God. And then there was a, he recognized the failure to listen. What? He recognized the failure to listen. Sorry, Pastor, that was a joke. Wasn't a very good joke, it was just made up on the spot. There you go. Look what he says in Daniel 9, verse 6. Look. Neither have we, what's the next word?
Hearkened.
They haven't listened. They haven't listened to God. Neither have we, he says himself too, have we hearkened unto thy servants and thy prophets, servants of prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings and our princes, our fathers, and to all the people in the land. Listen, Daniel knows that they haven't been listening to the preacher. They certainly haven't obeyed what the Bible says. They are just doing their own thing. They're not listening to God. They're just living their lives, and God's been put out. They've rejected him. They've rebelled against him. They've done their own thing. They've committed iniquity and wicked and done wickedly. And he's getting right. But he knows they're not listening. I wonder this over this camp, have you started listening? Because listening is an action. You have to actually tune in and choose to listen. Because you can sit in a message and you can just be here. Or you can be here. And I would encourage you to be listening. You want to be listening for the Spirit of God to be speaking to you and dealing with you. You want to be listening to the message that's being given, that's being delivered. You want to be listening to the heart that's put into it. See that little gold mine of a little booklet that you have?
Amen.
That many hours have been spent putting that together. That's a gold mine for you.
Good for you.
That is a gold mine. If you do that whole book, you are set. I mean, you are doing well.
Amen.
You've learned loads of verses. You've understood one of God's main men. And you've seen what God's done in his life and all that, that God used him to do. It's a huge blessing. Each camp booklet is a gold
it
mine
is.
For you.
Amen.
You know what? Have you got a listening problem? You know, this preacher was listening to a guy praying at the altar, and the guy prayed a prayer, and as lots of people have heard this prayer and probably prayed this prayer, and the prayer goes something like this. He says, "Lord, would you take the cobwebs out of my life?" And the preacher got up and shook his head, and he walked over and he says, "Would you please kill the spider too?"
Amen.
What do we do? We want to clean up the mess, but we don't want to stop the real issue.
Yes.
Why are we getting into trouble over and over again? Why is the same issue keep coming back in our lives over and over again? Don't worry, the message is nearly over. I'm running out of water. So, in Daniel's life, you know, he's asking God to forgive him. He's asking God to forgive his people. He needs a change. He knows he needs it. He knows his people need a different change. You know, he doesn't want to keep going on like this. Doesn't want to see people pointing the way they are. He recognizes a failure to listen. You know, what else does he do? He remembers. It's always good to remember.
Amen.
Look at Daniel 9:15 with me. "And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt." Do you remember what God done for the people in the land of Egypt?
Amen.
He freed them from slavery, from bondage, answered their 400 year prayer. They were praying for God to come and deliver them, to send a man to help them. And what did God do? He done exactly that.
Amen.
He freed them from the greatest superpower on the earth at that time, freed them from the Egyptians, wiped out the Egyptian army, and they've never been the same since.
That's right.
And God done a miraculous work, and the people walked out rejoicing with loads of gold and loads of money and lived happily ever after. Don't we wish I had an end like that?
No.
thing is, it didn't end like that. People start complaining. And here Daniel is saying, what's he saying? God, we are sorry that things went wrong. We've forgotten about you. We've forgotten what you've done. And when the table goes like that, everybody's like, God, so, you know, Daniel knows that they have forgotten. And all of us men need to remember, a lot of us have been in men's camp before.
Yeah.
And forgotten what's gone on at men's camp.
There you go.
A lot of you have been to an altar at one time in your life and gotten right with God about a certain issue and forgotten about it. You've made commitments that you've kind of gone back on. But you know what? There's something else that many in the room have done. You've been born again at some point.
Amen.
You need to remember what God's done for you.
Amen.
You need to remember. That's so important that you can go back to that place and stand in that place when you feel a bit shaky. And know that God's been good in your life.
Amen.
Some views God has freed from addiction and major strongholds in your life. Remember what God has done. Don't go back to those old things. Remember what God has done. We soon forget all that God has done. We forget who we are. That's the identity thing. We forget who we should be. But we need to remember. In Deuteronomy 4:9 it says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons. We need to remember. Why? Because you need to tell somebody else. Then you need to tell somebody else. And it needs to be your lived experience. Not just that God done it in my life 20 years ago, but God's doing it in my life today.
Amen.
I'm expecting Him to do it tomorrow. I'm expecting to walk in victory on Monday. And I'm planning in my life to be a victorious Christian on Monday morning.
Amen.
See, you're getting away with Sunday because we're normally pretty good on Sunday. I didn't forget what day it was. We need to remember. In Psalm 105 verse 5 it says, remember His marvelous works that He had done. So we need to refocus. We need to repent. We need some repentance. We need to recognize there's a failure to listen. We need to remember what God's done in your past. Real quick. We need to remember responsibility. We need to make sure that we're responsible for the things God says we're responsible for. We are men. Be responsible men. You're responsible for who you are, but you're also, in a sense, responsible for your family. You're responsible for the community you live in. And it has an impact on you. You're responsible to a level about the church that you go to. You're responsible for creating an atmosphere in the church that you go to.
Amen.
What do you do to enhance your church?
Amen.
You know, what are you involved in? What are you doing? How are you serving? You know, are you a helper? Is there something you could do? That could be buying a packet of biscuits, by the way.
Yeah.
That can be giving out a cup of tea. That can be standing at home the door on Sunday morning.
Amen.
That can be doing with anything. That can be going in and making sure the toilet roll in the toilets. Cleaning the toilets after church.
Yeah.
There's a million things you could do to have an impact upon your little church. That's what I would say. You know what? You're responsible. Be responsible. In your devotional this morning, I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have done it. One of the things I really enjoyed in it was it talks about when there's a sin in your life or when you need to get right. And it talks about acknowledging, confessing, and forsaking your sin. And it's very easy. God makes it real easy. You know, there's not 50 prayers you need to say before you're forgiven. There's not a walk you need to do when you're bare feet up a mountain. There's nothing like that. Does he say you have to give a lot of money to the church?
No. Stuff
like pastors maybe wish he did, but he didn't say it. It would help with the budget. But he doesn't say that. What did he say? He just say you pray, you confess. What does he say? In 1 John 1:9, we all know that.
Confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and mend it from all.
Very good. Amen.
Didn't even need it on the screen.
Amen.
You know why? Because when you get it, you know.
Amen.
You know what? You can confess your sin and God is faithful. And he's just to forgive you our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means if you are willing to get real and repent, you will see a transformed, changed life. And you know what you'll do? You will have an impact on the people around you. Be responsible for who you are and how you carry yourself
in the community, church setting, family, job, school, wherever you are in life, be responsible for being who God wants you to be. Last point. Rejoice.
Amen.
And it's a real simple. After all that's been said and done, you know what? We have it good, don't we?
Yeah.
We have it so good.
Yeah.
You know, and getting victory over sin is something to be excited about. We talked about your great salvation. You have a great salvation.
Yes.
The access that gives you to go to God. You get to go to God. The great and dreadful God is on your side.
Yeah.
The one that loves you, that has the power to change and transform your life and the lives of your people. You have full access to Him. He tells you to come boldly onto His throne.
Yes, sir.
You know what? God wants you to rejoice. This is Paul writing from the prison house. Should you be listening to anybody that was in prison?
No.
Well, maybe you should listen to Paul for a minute. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always."
Sorry.
And again I say, rejoice. Not all jailboards are bad ones. Prison ministry starting soon. Sorry, Chris. It's weird, you know. You know what? God has been good. We can rejoice. And we should be excited and be able to rejoice in what God has done. We pastor talked about resting. You should be able to rest in the salvation that you have.
Hallelujah.
And in knowing who God is, you're safe.
Amen.
You have it made.
Yes.
Your eternal situation, if you're saved, is dealt with.
Yes.
And you have God moving into your life to help you live successfully today. But you're going to have to surrender to Him. There's some stuff that you need to repent of. There's some stuff you need to make some adjustments and changes in your life. There's some stuff you need to add in, some stuff you need to take away. But never forget, it's not just a little set of rules that you need to live by so you can tick a box and say, now I look better,
yeah.
Smell better. Because that doesn't mean you are better.
Yeah.
Amen.
God wants a real change.
Amen.
A real change in the heart. Do you know what I'd encourage us all to do? Not right now, but you could do it right now. Have a moment. Have a moment where you connect with God, where you get. Pastor talked about going out in his car and talking with God, chatting with God. I've had many moments like that. My car is an amazing place. And if my car could talk like Kit and Michael, it could tell you where the wonderful stories. But you know what? We all need times where we just go, we'll get away from everybody else. And, nobody else but God is listening to you, and you can actually be honest.
Thank God.
And get honest with God. Have a moment where you get right with God. Like Daniel did, what did he do? He set his face to focus on the Lord God. He just, him and God connected at that moment, and it was real, it was life changing, and it changed Daniel's world. If you would do that, God can change your world.
Amen.
Let's bow for prayer.
Right.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're a thankful people for all you've done in our lives. Lord, we're looking at this wonderful man, Daniel. We see the difficulty that he lived in, the challenges that he faced. And Lord, many of us in the room are facing challenges, maybe different than Daniel's, but Lord, we struggle. We want to do the right thing. There is a desire often to do the right thing, but Lord, we're so often defeated. Would you raise up a bunch of men who are going to live for you? Would you help us to get that heart where we're going to focus upon you, that we will set our face like a flint to go and follow after you no matter what the world brings across our land? Oh God, would you help us to get serious, to get real, to get right tonight? And Lord, would you help us to have that moment, that connection, that repentant time where we come and have an honest prayer time with you, where we get real and get honest about who we are, what we are, but Lord, where we want you to take us to. Lord, would you help us to get the same heart you have for us, for ourselves? Lord, we are Christian men. Lord, would you help us to have that testimony amongst the people that we live around? Would you bless your people here tonight? Would you help the men, Lord, get serious, get straight, and Lord, be successful.
Amen.
Lord, you're a life-changing, life-transforming, eternally salvation, God, that you just change everything for us and in us and through us. So Lord, we're asking that as we go back to our churches this weekend, Lord, that that would be a permanent change.
Amen.
As we walk into our families, that they would know there's something different about him.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a change. He's met with somebody that's changed him. Lord, we know we can't do it on our own, so Lord, we're pleading with you. Would you be real in our lives? Would you help us to truly surrender and walk with you, we pray. In Christ's name.
Amen.